Windsor Castle, which is certainly the largest castle there is in this country. But actually, it's said that the astronauts discovered the truth, that when they looked down on the planet, they saw the real answer. Because there's one human-made achievement that is big enough to be seen from space, although most people would now tell you that they have to be fairly close to the Earth and not right the way up around the Moon to be able to see it. But it's something that illustrates that for hundreds and thousands of years, the most basic instinct of human beings is to build walls. And of course, that greatest construction by human beings is the Great Wall of China. But for the Church of God, we know, as we read, that Christ has made peace. He has made peace between Jews and Gentiles. He has made them one people. With his own body, he broke down the wall that separated them and kept them as enemies, says Paul. Well, maybe now is the time for us to consider the barriers that we erect, which Christ would want to break down. Ephesians chapter 2 expresses the vital theme of reconciliation. Reconciliation between us and God, and between people and people. Of course, reconciliation is never easy. It's certainly not without cost and without criticism. I mean, we might look back to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa and actually remember Mandela walking from prison. We might remember the handshake between Archbishop Desmond Tutu and former President F.W. de Klerk. But of course, more recently, we might remember the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh meeting Gerry Adams, the handshake between the Queen and the Deputy First Minister of Northern Ireland, Martin McGuinness. Reconciliation is costly. And the reconciliation that we are looking at in the Church is, of course, based and founded on the most costly sacrifice, that of the Son of God crucified for us. But then, of course, you and I erect barriers. With all the understanding and all the achievement that the Chinese civilization had, its one landmark is this wall that separated the ancient Chinese dynasties from the barbarian hordes. A wall of division, a wall of protection. Well, 6 years ago, Sheila and I had the privilege of walking on that wall, and it is absolutely fantastic. And if you've been watching the television recently, Joanna Lumley, in her travels across China and Russia, has actually been on part of that wall that is not normally seen by tourists. I mean, it's one of the seven wonders of the world. But of course, we've got our own. When we go up to the north of England, we're unlikely to miss out on a visit to Steel Ridge, to walk, probably in the rain, along the most impressive section of Hadrian's Wall, the wall that protected Pax Romana and its colonised, if not civilised, lands from the rough-necked Picts. We learn about our neighbours and we build a wall. We fear our neighbours. We lock our doors, we fit window locks and take out insurance policies. I remember an advert for Direct Line Insurance. A couple are going on holiday and they ask their neighbours, "Would you keep an eye on the house while we're away?" To which the reply comes, "Well, aren't you covered by insurance?" The hapless man immediately phones Direct Line to organise insurance and returns to his neighbour triumphantly saying, "Yes, of course we're covered." But what an indictment that is on the communities in which many people live in this country. A lack of true neighbourliness, when folk may well watch their neighbours' comings and goings, but actually, according to a recent survey, are unlikely to know their names, let alone be in any way concerned for them. It is sad to see. Fortunately, of course, that's not true, or at least Sheila and I have not found that true in the village where we live. We certainly live in a place where neighbours really are neighbours. But if you think back to the Chinese, they had the most advanced civilization in the world. They had knowledge to offer in the fields of science and medicine, and beauty to offer in painting and poetry and cultivation. But instead, they kept it all to themselves, hiding behind the protection of a wall. And the Romans were much the same. They're another great civilization with much to offer in terms of government, planning, roads, houses, central heating, very much needed if you were on Hadrian's Wall, and a legal system and an army second to none. But rather than civilize the neighboring tribes, they erected a wall to protect themselves, and from behind which they could launch attacks on their neighbors. Alienation, this sense of division, sadly is a mark of our society. It's a mark in economics, in terms of how much people own or earn. It's a social division. It's also a spiritual division. And yet the Bible begins with a picture of harmony. So what happened to the harmony of the Garden of Eden? Well, of course, it's people like you and I who decided, actually, it's much better to play God. I'd much rather have the power and control and act selfishly. And that's where division comes from. But God chose Israel to be a blessing to the nations. And of course, we in Christ are to be a blessing to the nations. But sadly, Israel forgot her calling and twisted her privilege and set up barriers of religion and nationalism. You have to be circumcised. You have to worship in the temple. You have to worship our God. And that division was symbolized by a wall in the temple in Jerusalem, which kept the Gentiles well away from the center of worship. And today, the Israelis have built a wall between themselves and their Palestinian neighbors. Thing is, are we any different? In this country, there are plenty of barriers. Barriers in ethnicity and color and gender and religion and intellect, denomination, and of course, the way we express our religion, our theological point of view. And we go into Bedford and we see a group of young people and instinctively wonder, is it going to be safe to walk past them? The television and the media sensationalizes those concerns with reports about knife crime, which fills many people with an irrational fear. We may now, of course, fear driving along the road after the murder of Donald Locke. But of course, the vast majority of people, the vast majority of young people, whatever their ethnic background, lead well-mannered and well-behaved lives, often doing good deeds in school and in society. But of course, their life is not news. Only bad news is news. But our fear is a barrier raised, because you and I feel threatened. At some time, we're all likely to do this. We don't talk or enter into relationships with other people who are not like us, whether they're young or old or of a different social standing. And in the church, there is often a real temptation to refuse to consider a theological position or a worship style that is different from our own. I've just been asked to help a church that's going through a division between the organ and choir on one side and the music group and drums on the other. I will be asking for your prayer soon. We may dislike or disown or make fun of other expressions of Christianity and its followers. We might look down on people and laugh at those of a simple belief, or even suggest that those who question what we believe are somehow outside the kingdom of God. We set up our barriers. We fail to engage, to discuss, to share, to learn. And the result is division, the kind that can, through criticism, lead to hatred and even on to religious wars. Well, before we look at breaking down the barriers, let us now bring our collect for this Sunday. We pray together. It's on the notice sheet. Collect.
for the seventh Sunday